talking about spiritual growth, and it seems as though it's been, you know, last week we talked about love, and it was the Valentine's Day message, and so I took a break there, and then, you know, I take a break here and there, but, you know, we did start in the beginning of the passage, and it's interesting as we consider spiritual growth, and this is a New Year's theme yet, although we're coming to the end of the second month, February, and March is, in my mind's eye, is going to be a missions emphasis month, and with Easter very early this year, actually March 27th, we will only have a message or two on missions, and then we'll be looking at the resurrection. But I say all that to say this, is that to tie these messages together, each one of them stand alone, but yet I'm building on different principles. And as we go back to the beginning, you'll see that, as I read in verse 3, a very powerful passage where Peter is writing, and he's saying this, is that God, according to his divine power, has given us, and here's another one, here's this passage that we hear over and over and over, all things. And in this particular case, it's all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, as believers, we're gathered here today, and hopefully we're here to worship the Lord. We're here first and foremost to bring glory to his name. On a secondary scale, it's the fellowship that we enjoy with each other. And then also to preach and hold fast the Word of God as the Scripture being the pillar, the church being the pillar and ground, lifting up the truth. And so we preach God's Word that we might present the gospel in some form in our church, a little bit of an evangelistic thrust, a motivation factor that we might desire the Lord more in our life, but also a teaching aspect where we present the Word of God, as Paul wrote to Timothy, where it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And it's profitable for doctrine. And that has become such a dull word. Oh, we're going to talk about doctrine today. And everybody just settles in, and you think, man, I'm glad I had that third cup of coffee today. And so, but doctrine really is just simply teaching what the Word of God teaches me. And Peter is saying here is God has given us all things. And then Paul goes on and he says it's good for doctrine, it's good for reproof. That's where the Word of God gets in our face. That's what we call about stepping on toes. You think, pastors just love stepping on people's toes. I don't like stepping on people's toes. Because usually if you step on someone's toes, someone punches you in the mouth once in a while. And I just don't like that, you know. Well, no, not really. But I mean, you know, I've had people already say to me, they met me not here at this church yet. You hear that? I said, yet? I had people say, you hit below the belt today. And I said, Now think about that. A preacher putting together a sermon, hoping that an individual comes to church, and what I ought to do is, okay, here, now wait a minute. I'll use Tanner. Okay, now, Tanner, you listen today because I want to talk to you. Right? And so what happens is the Bible reproves us, does it not? But really what it is, God reproves us because God knows us. The Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. I've preached messages already where people said, it was almost like you were in our house this week. Well, yeah, I got all your houses bugged. Oh, yeah. Technology today. You know, you thought that guy, Aunt Shirley, you thought that guy that came in and fixed your furnace, he put bugs in your house. I know everything goes on in your house. And Mike, he said they had a washer repairman there like three times this week. They were just putting bugs in. I know everything goes on. But now watch this. I preach all the time about trials, and I always use washing machines or cars, right? But now it says for proof, watch this, and for correction, right? Doesn't the Bible correct us? Give us the correct way to think. And instruction in righteousness, verse 17 says, that the man of God may be mature, may be perfect, may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Peter's saying this. He's writing to us under inspiration, and he makes that clear at the end of the chapter where I read. He's saying this. According to spiritual growth, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that's incredible, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual growth. And we're continuing that theme. We looked at the fact that we talked the other week about the Word of God, the promises that are in the Word of God, and how the Word of God does instruct us, and that we can live a life based upon the promises of God, no matter what this world says. Oh, this is just an old book. How in the world can you get anything out of that book? Well, you're talking, usually when people say that, they've never read this book. Or they don't study this book. This book touches our life every day in every aspect of our life. Amen? That's why we ought to be students of the Word. And that's what Peter was saying. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The problem is I heard of, I read this many years ago. I heard in a sermon. I can't tell you who said it because I don't know who said it. But this is the number one least read bestseller in all the world. Amen? It's the number one least read bestseller. I just want to say that. I didn't say it backwards, did I? Oh, yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. We're going to talk a little bit today about understanding spiritual growth. I want us to understand, because I think there's some understanding that comes into it. Just like, you know, we talked, and I'm just setting the table here a little bit. You know, growth is natural in our life. I mean, now I'm, you know, there was a day when I was little and I was growing up. And then you went to school, you were growing in knowledge. Now I'm growing old. But we're still growing, right? For a while, I went this way. Now I'm going this way. And I'm hoping someday maybe to go this way a little bit. Not much hope there for that. Okay, not as long as they make pretzels and put peanut butter in the middle. Karen said to me, we were out shopping on Friday, she said, I'm going to go out to Whispering Pines. You want to go with? Oh, yeah. Well, she goes in there, and I go, oh, I found these. Did you ever eat them, the pretzels with the peanut butter in the center? Oh, man. It just called to me from the shelf. Okay? And then, now, Bruce, a wet bottom shoe fly pie. It was right there. And it's waving. And so I get home from Whispering Pines. See, if you tell them I sent you, I get like $5 gift certificates there all the time. But anyways, Karen, she fixes us a cup of coffee, and she brings it in a nice little fork there. And then I came yesterday, and they had the baby shower downstairs. And of course, Chris Meiser wins two gifts. She won everything at the game dinner, and so, you know. When she shows up, don't even take a ticket. Just give it to her. Just load this up, Chris. But anyways, so I go down there. I'm upstairs in the office catching up a little bit, updating the website, and I go down. And it's like, do you want something to eat? They fix me a big plate. So, Trish, at 9 o'clock last night, I ate everything on that plate. Yeah, it was just like, I forgot about it. And I was just like, yes! So I'm growing. By the way, you're reacting, you're growing too. Growth is natural, is it not? We see a child born, it grows up. It's exciting to watch young people learn, is it not? It is so incredible to hear them develop their vocabulary, to see their motor skills, and growth is just natural. Now watch this. In a spiritual sense, growth should be as natural for the believer as growth is for a child. Amen? Well, I think there's many different things we can talk about there. But that brings us up to where we are. So number one is this. As we continue with this passage, we are going to look now at verse 5. First part of verse 5. And Peter is saying, and beside this, giving all diligence. That's an interesting phrase, is it not? Giving all diligence. Now, if I took a survey today, and I'm not going to, I don't want you to raise your hands, I would say every person in this room has read Peter's epistles, this one being his second one. But I wonder, have we paused with this phrase, giving all diligence? diligence. That's interesting because I think that's key. That's number one. Diligence is the key to cultivating spiritual growth. And you say, oh, this is just one of these messages. I didn't really know else how to say it, but it is a key. It's very important. It's a foundation, if I could put it that way. Diligence. When you think about diligence, what do you think about? Diligence isn't necessarily nap time, right? Diligence is not, you know, usually when you're tired, you're not diligent, correct? When you're ill, you're not diligent. I mean, I go to nothing when I'm tired. You stop in your office, Bob stopped in the other day, we were sharing a cup of coffee about 2:30, and I must have yawned 50 times, and he probably thought, what's wrong with this guy? But he did, he looked as tired as I did. So I said, let's go in the other room, there's two couches there. So you come up, come on up, it's 2:30, it's nap time at the office, right? Now watch this, the world thinks that way, don't they? That's what Snickers says. If you have a Snickers bar at 2:30, you get you through the day, right? But see, when we think about diligence, we think about giving attention to something. We think about passion for something. We think about favoring different things. And I'm here today to say this. First of all, is I know that Peter says giving all diligence, and then he lists the different elements or the different principles that are found in spiritual growth, but he prefaces it all by saying, okay, you got to give diligence to this. And I'm here to say every one of us are diligent people. You might say, I don't feel diligent. Well, watch this. How many of you, if you get the opportunity, sneak a nap in during the day? Let me see. Okay, get your hand up there. You know what? You know what I see? Some of the young people in the back row raise their hand. Yes, I love that. I love that. You know, now if you talk to my grandson, Blake, you take a nap, 4 years old. And when you're driving around the car and he falls asleep, buddy, that's the best feeling in the world for grandpa. He's sleeping. Now watch this. Is that let's look and talk a little bit today about diligence. Well, I've filled some stuff in there for you. I want you to consider these two statements. Because this is what Peter is saying. God does not make us holy against our will or without our involvement. Now, let's back up a little bit. You say, because I'm not going to play the grand switcheroo on you. I'm not going to say, okay, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to go over here and talk about this. Is that Peter already stated, once again, you're going to get tired of hearing this, but think it through. God has already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So what's he talking about? If we're going to give diligence to something, it is talking about your life and my life becoming more like Christ. Right? Because that's what godliness is. Is that not what godliness is? Think about that. Godliness is just Dave Dressler or you thinking more of our lives on a biblical framework. We call that a biblical worldview. Dave Dressler, and by way of you talking to yourself, thinking more like Christ, talking more like Christ, the phrase, what would Jesus do? I think sometimes it's a corny phrase, but it would be that way, yeah. What would Jesus do in this situation? Or better yet, what does God in his word say? That's what we're talking about with godliness. And so notice this phrase again, it's on your sheet. God does not make us holy against our will or without our involvement. So a lot of times we think that. Take, for instance, a young person can grow. You know, a young person can grow, and in a physical sense, not a whole lot has to take place other than eat. And it is a natural inclination to hunger, right? But if a young person does not apply themselves, all they're going to do is grow physically, but they're not going to develop socially or intellectually, right? Now think about that. And sometimes a person needs to actually get out of school before they see the value in learning stuff. True? Is that not true? Oh, yeah. We're all in the school of learning, and I still yet have a hard time listening to someone tell me what I ought to do. I find out better. Doing it wrong the first time, second time, third time. It's called the school of hard knocks, right? Yeah, I see a couple people going, I'm right there with you, brother. Amen. Preach it. But now what we're looking at here is we think a lot of times as Christians, we're just, well, I come to church. The fact of coming to church and sitting down and singing, you may learn some hymns, you may be friends with people, okay? That ought to take place. But you know what? Here's the thing, is that if that's all you do, you're probably not pursuing godliness. Amen? Well, I just want the pastor to know my name. You know what I like to do sometimes? I'll meet somebody. Maybe it'll be in a hospital waiting room, or maybe it'll be at a funeral. Or, you know, you meet so many different people that don't come here to church. And they'll say, oh, and I'll tell them who I am. I don't like to tell them pastor right away, because then they think about the worst experience, and then they think that I'm that guy. You know, and then they automatically hate me. You know, oh, you're a pastor. You're one of them miserable. And I said, absolutely. You know, I don't like people or nothing. As a matter of fact, I used to tell folks at Broad Acres, it was a nursing home I went to for 13 years. I said, I'm the redheaded homemade preacher, don't care about nothing or nobody with chicken legs. That's what I am. So anyways, I was saying this. Oh, yeah. They'll say to me, where they go to church, and I do this. What's your pastor's name? Then I've had the other put on me one time, is I was walking through Walmart, and a person come up to me, and they were introducing to me some of their friends, and they said, this is my pastor. And I thought, boy, I just found out something today. I'm their pastor. Well, they don't even attend church there, but I'm their pastor. So I take my business card out, and I say, send your tithe in, brother. See, Donnie, I got that in there. That happens. That happens, doesn't it? See, just because we learn to come in a service schedule and we avail ourselves of sitting in the pew and even participating with the singing, is that God does not make us holy against our will or without our involvement. That's what that's talking about. So it's like, yes, let me ask something. Now, I want you to be honest with me today, okay? Honest only in your heart. You don't have to verbalize it. I'm going to shake your fist again. That's okay. But watch this. Are you engaged right now in what we're talking about? See, that'll tell. You say, well, you know, you think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Absolutely not. My head deacon used to tell me, and he visited here the other night, my head deacon up at Bakerburg, he told me one day, he said, Dave, you know, you're not the greatest preacher. And I said, talk about that over a cup of coffee once, huh? That's a real, I walked out of that meeting thinking, and you know what I told him? I said, you're absolutely right. And I know that. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I know that. I'm not the sharpest tool in the box. But I'm in the room and I'm in the box. That's good. Amen? But watch this. I'm not here so you can listen to me. I'm here to present God's word so the Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts and that we might grow and that we might become godly. Amen? That's what it is. I mean, I listened. You know, Dave Little was here the other week. Isn't he a wonderful speaker? First of all, he's a good friend to me. But wow, what powerful messages he brought. I sat there and it's just like, oh. I listened to the guys on the radio, and they say all the right things. I went up to a men's hobby night the other week, and I'm up there stumbling around trying to make spiritual application of what I'm doing, and the pastor gets up and just ties the nicest bow on everything I said. And I thought, I wish I could say it like that. And And I leave and I think, wow, I'm glad he got up. Amen? Now, I've met some people already that when they think they're walking down the aisle to go to the pulpit, that they're parting the Red Sea and everybody's coming through. I've met those people. A guy at Wood Mode told me a long time ago, I thought it was so interesting. He wasn't even a Christian, and I was working with him. And he said, I'd like to buy that person for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. Right? Okay, so now that's our first point, okay? I don't know how spiritual that is, but did you ever meet somebody like that? I have. He also told me one time, this isn't anything to do with messages. I gotta tell you this story though, it's so funny, because here's this guy. He had done whatever. He was working in raw wood inspection. There we go. He had performed that task for probably 25 years. And they put a new assistant foreman on. And every time you had a new assistant foreman, you got to train him. I mean, the workforce has to train him. So anyways, Jay's there, and he's blowing off his cabinet, and he's checking it out, and he marks it up, and he fixes any defects he sees in the raw wood, and he slides it down. And I was working back-to-back with him. And this new assistant foreman said, Jay! And he calls him over and he goes, here, you missed this part. And he slides this back. And I just knew he was going to go off. I knew that it was a nuclear test site right there in the sanding department. I thought, okay, buddy. Because, you know, I'm excited about this. I'm still working there. Of course, I'm seeing what's going on. He didn't do anything. And he's there working, and he's there, and I didn't egg him on, I didn't do anything. And he finally turns around after 5, maybe 10 minutes, and he looks at me and he says, Davey, he said, you know, I met 5 perfect people in my life before. I said, yeah, Jay? And he said, yeah, and Wood Mode has the privilege of having 3 of them work for him. Just back to work. I just had to tell you that, so. But anyways, now watch this. Here we are. Peter says this, giving all diligence. Well, that means this. God does not make us holy against our will without our involvement. The second one here, put a little check mark here, okay? There must be desire, determination, and discipline on our part. Boy, that's incredible, isn't it? Now, I thought, it's already 25 after 11, so we're not really going to go much further in this message, okay? This is an introduction because I had to cut it in half. I decided to do that this morning, but I want to show you something here. I don't have an army helmet. That was for the other thing. What's your desire today? What's your desire? I mean, I think our lives are so full of desire. You say, well, you know, I'm getting old. I really don't desire anything. So I'm talking to the, first of all, to the Q-tips in the crowd. You know what a Q-tip is, don't you? Huh? A Q-tip is white on the top, right? Then there's a couple that the end falls off of the Q-tip, and I don't know what to call that, okay? But anyways. But everybody has desires. And, you know, with moving, you throw away so much stuff. But the other day, I was moving some stuff around. After I moved for like 50 times, then you open it up, and I found something. This is what I moved. I used to build airplanes. I found these. These are 2 complete kits, and it's like, this one still has the cellophane on. It's like, yes! I got excited. I went online, and I looked up the company, and the company's still in business. And what cost $10.95 is like $22 now. And I'm thinking, this is gold. I can hardly wait to build that. Because you know what? And do you know when I started building airplanes? Now listen to this. I was in Bible college. I was working a full-time job. I was going to college full-time, and I had to find something to do. And so the thing that I like to do, there's guys that they'll go to. Now, Grizzly closed down their showroom, but if you're a real tool guy, you go up there and you go, and you walk around and say, oh, I just wish I had all. Not me. I care less about all those tools, you know. I have a couple. You take me to a hobby shop, and I walk in, and it's like, I'm home. I'm home, and I can spend hours walking around in a hobby shop. Well, that's what I did. I made the mistake of going to a hobby shop in Griffith, Indiana, and they had these little balsa wood airplanes hanging from the ceiling. Tissue and stick balsa. And they were perfect. Of course, I asked the guy, I said, you built them? He said, nah, there's a guy down the street. These are the models he don't fly anymore. And it's like, so I said, where can I get them? Oh, we got them here. So I bought a couple. I went home and built some. And that, I just fell in love with that. And then I was up in the attic stirring around, and I found, still in the cellophane, this is probably 30 years old, a model of Richard Petty's car. Actually, I found two of them. I opened the other one up. And I'm sitting there going, yes. So you know what I did on Friday? Me and Karen were out running errands. I stopped in at Michael's and I bought a little airbrush thing. Because I know what happens. If you paint a model with brush, you say, you're crazy. I know I'm crazy. And you say, I don't have anything to preach on, okay? I got a whole message here. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to connect with you. So was it yesterday, Karen? Yeah, we got home from the thing. My hand's still blue. I went downstairs and I started cutting the model apart. And I sit there, and you know what? Time flies when you're interested, right? He said, well, I could care less about those models. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, don't bother me. I got down there, and I'm figuring out how to do that airbrush thing. I'm going like this. I'm going, shh. I'm thinking, there's nothing coming out. So I held it up to my hand. I go, shh. My hand's getting blue. All right. So I'm down there, and I'm painting. And, of course, then I get to the bottom of the cellar steps. Right, Karen? Hey, honey, do you have a minute? Yeah, well, come on down here. I wanted to show her what I did. Well, I painted a whole car in my basement yesterday. Now, watch this. Here's what I'm talking about. Every one of us have things that really excite us, don't they? Every one of us do. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay. But what God is saying, when Peter says to us, how does he put it right here? Giving all diligence. Does the aspect of growing as a Christian excite you? Because you know what? I love hobbies. And it was funny because my wife was talking to our daughter on the phone and she said, what are you doing? Well, we're at Michael's. Oh, and she goes, what are you getting? Well, Dad's getting... and she goes, you know, Dad, you never just do nothing. Well, yeah, I'm real good at doing nothing for about 20 minutes to an hour, and then I got to do something. What are you diligent about today? Are you diligent about wanting your life? Am I diligent about wanting my life to bring glory to God? Because we're going to go to number two, and then we'll stop right there. Because Peter says this, watch this. He says, add to your faith. Okay? So bring up number two, if you would, there for me. Because I'm not going to go. It starts with faith. See, Peter starts with faith. Notice this. He doesn't say, you've got to get faith. He doesn't say that. He says, you got the whole idea. With all this diligence, add to your faith, because he assumes that saving faith has taken place in their lives. He's writing to believers. And so my question to you today is this. As we consider this idea of understanding spiritual growth, have you experienced saving faith? That's what it's talking about. See, a lot of times people do this. Now watch this. Why don't you follow me on this? Because I think this is so powerful. Who wants to go to hell? Who wants to go to hell? I mean, there's a couple of nutcases out there that say, oh, yeah, going to hell, got to be there. All my friends are going to have a big party. It's got to be great. Right? Those are whack jobs. They just say that to get a rise out of you. But you know what? Sometimes I think our evangelism has failed because, you know what? We don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to hell. And so people think this, well, I'm going to come to church. And I got to come to church because if I don't come to church, I'm going to hell. Right? And it isn't me that have done the surveys. It's people that had paid millions of dollars to have the surveys done. They claim that the fundamental church in America is loaded with unsaved people. Now, think about that. And, of course, everyone's saying, not me, not me, not me. Peter is saying this, add to your faith. And we can't talk about the qualities of spiritual growth until we ask the question, have we experienced saving faith? That's where it starts. Now watch this. You say, well, I can't believe that. I can't believe you're even saying that. You know what? Pharisees got it all wrong, didn't they? Jesus came into this world. They rejected him. You know why? Because they weren't saved. Right? They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. They didn't lose their salvation. They just thought it was better to be good. You know what? You know what that tells me? Watch this. There is a certain amount of the scriptures that we can read, that we can understand, and that we can live by in our lives, and we can still be unsaved. We're just good people, but not godly people. And that's, we have to start with saving faith. Turn to Romans chapter 10. We're going to stop right there. But Romans chapter 10 says this, and you know the passage. If you use the Roman road to witness to people, and here's the thing. I want to make my position clear. It goes back to that second check mark. There must be desire, determination, and discipline on our part. If we don't desire to be godly people, we're not going to be. As a matter of fact, do you know what? Oh, I want to show you. See, I make pens. I desire to do that. I was in Hawaii, and I saw a pen that a guy made, and I thought, man, I've never seen anything like that. Took a picture of it. I came home, and my determination, I figured out how to make that. Determination, right? Desire, determination, and the discipline goes along with it. If you've got the desire and you're putting the determination in there, the discipline comes naturally. Amen? Come on now, amen? Are you with me on that? That's why Peter, he goes this. He says, okay, now I'm going to talk to you about these principles in your life, and he's going to assume that they have experienced saving faith. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say anything about church membership there, does it? Doesn't say anything about being immersed. Although we believe that Christians ought to join a church, amen? We believe that a Christian ought to participate in believer's baptism. But now let's go down further in the passage. I want us to see something. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you look at different translations, it's really talking about faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the words about Christ. Saving faith. If you and I are going to understand spiritual growth, what we have to realize, first of all, is we cannot go any further till we settle the matter in our hearts about saving faith. Amen? Because what happens is this, is everything becomes an add-on in our life and not the growth process that God is talking about. Amen? See, I don't want you to doubt your salvation today. Absolutely not. But watch this. I think as a church, we're remiss when we don't preach the gospel when it naturally shows up in the text. And that's what I'm doing today. It naturally shows up in the text. And you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. And maybe you don't think I studied. I didn't realize that till this morning. And I thought, man, this message is longer than I thought it was going to be. Now, if I asked you, as a sprint car racer does, when they push out on the track, first thing they do is they pull those straps really tight, okay? Because they are going to experience all kinds of G-forces, okay? They don't let them straps loose. So I'm not going to be the type of preacher that says, okay, pull those straps tight, we're going to endure to the end today, and we're going to talk about them. We'll do that next week. Bring your straps. We're going to pull them tight. And we will talk about the qualities of spiritual growth. But today, what's your desire? What's your desire? If God's word is true, and if Peter is writing and he says, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, are we growing as believers? That's what the question is in the passage. That's what he's saying. That's what we've got to ask. Am I growing in my daily walk with God? Am I growing, becoming more like Jesus in my thought pattern? Am I? And watch this. Is my desire and my determination and my discipline evident in my life? That's all. That's all. See, I can talk to you about building airplanes because I didn't forget. When I went to that men's hobby night, I found out that I took great joy in explaining to people how to make something on this small lathe that I had. Okay? I have no problem with that. I didn't even need a script. Okay? But watch this. If that's all I am, then I'm empty. Because all those things will pass away someday. And as I get older, and as my eyesight fails, and the arthritis sets in, I'm not going to be able to do a lot of things, but watch this. I can still grow as a believer, and I can still walk with the Lord, and I can still exemplify Christ in my life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.